The Red Oak Community School District Board of Directors met Wednesday, April 15th, and I'm joined by Ron Lorenz, Superintendent. How are you, Mr. Lorenz?
I'm wonderful.
Pleasure to see you.
Oh, it's always great to see you. I appreciate you coming to our meetings.
It's always a pleasure, and I always enjoy it. It's an exciting time of the school year, isn't it? You have ISAS testing, you have prom and graduation and track meets and tennis and golf.
Exciting is a word that you could use. It might not be the word that I would use, but it is a word that you could use.
But I don't know how anything really compares to the budget presentation that you had tonight from Heidi. I think that probably is the pinnacle.
You know what? We're blessed. Heidi does a great job.
Yes, she
and
does.
I know that she works in tandem with Leanne Flucky.
And
I will tell you what, those ladies earn their money.
It is critical.
Yep.
Critical.
And it's often thankless work.
Many times.
It's work that's largely misunderstood, even by financial people. Not many folks understand fund accounting or school finance.
Mostly misunderstood. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, let's talk about the board meeting. I'm going to get a little bit out of order the way it occurred, but first with the proposed hearing for fiscal year 2026 budget amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that public hearing.
So essentially what I told the board this evening is we monitor our year-to-date expenditures. It's become clear to us that we have to amend our current year certified budget or our fiscal year 26 budget. And that's largely due to rising costs. We've had some unforeseen expenses. Essentially our projections indicate that our expenditures are going to exceed our original budget. And that's not something that we can do. So we have to amend our budget so that it's well documented.
Mm-hmm.
We asked the board to approve a budget amendment of $600,000 this evening, and they did so ultimately.
Yep. Yep.
And I think it's really important to emphasize that, first of all, budget amendments are not uncommon. They're pretty much mm-hmm. kind of the way that we do business, because certified budgets are developed well in advance of the fiscal year, and they're based on our best estimate or our forecasts of mm-hmm. what our expenditures are going to be. There's no real way for us to know exactly inflation rates or insurance premium charges, those kinds of things. We do our best, but we don't have a crystal ball. So that's why we have to kind of routinely make adjustments to make sure that our spending authority aligns with our real world conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you know this, but under Iowa code, we are required to amend our budgets if those expenditures are projected to exceed those certified amounts. That's what we did this evening.
Yeah.
Also, that has no impact on taxes. It has no impact on our cash position. It's merely spending authority. It authorizes us to spend the money that we know we have to spend to meet those expenses.
Okay. All right. Then, again, that occurred after the meeting had started. That's why I said it was a little out of order. But to the meeting and the agenda itself, not all the board members were present this evening.
Brett Blackman was not able to attend. He mm-hmm. is traveling for work, and I believe he's in Chicago this mm-hmm. week. Kelly Osheim attended remotely.
Yes. Then tell me, if you would, Mr. Lorenz, in the visitors and presentations, a couple of presentations there. First was the DCAP, or the district's current career and academic plan.
Mm-hmm.
A fairly extensive presentation by Mr. Perrin, also Amy McClintock and Kelsey Mangold.
Right.
Fairly in-depth, detailed presentation. Tell me about that.
So what they did is review the goals and the outcomes of our 25-26 District and Career Academic Plan, our DCAP.
Mm-hmm.
And then they presented the proposed 26-27 plan and essentially asked for feedback from the board.
Mm-hmm.
I think we spent a lot of time just answering questions from the board and getting a sense of the board's priorities and helping establish that vision. That's a great thing, because that annual review is actually, it's a required part of the DCAP process. So
mm-hmm.
it's something that, it wasn't just a presentation for the sake of making a presentation, it's something that we have to do. And, you know, bottom line, the DCAP outlines how we support kids in exploring academic and career opportunities while also helping them to understand what their interests are, where their strengths lie. You know, we use a lot of tools just to help gauge interest, temperament, and those kinds of things. So this evening, the presentation that those individuals made really highlighted the district's ongoing efforts to strengthen our career, post-secondary readiness for kids. And they talked a lot about outcomes. I think, suffice to say, Mr. Perrin put it very well when he said, in terms of Southwest Iowa, we're leading the pack.
Yeah.
Our plan was rated, I believe, highest or maybe second highest of all the districts in our region.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not necessarily the case statewide. You know, we've got some work to do to catch up with the rest of the state.
Yep.
But in our neighborhood, so to speak, we're doing very well in that regard.
Okay. A good presentation overall. And then as we opened our conversation, Heidi Harris did review the certified budget requirements mm-hmm. and some budget assumptions. So talk to me about that presentation.
Well, she essentially provided an overview of the district proposed budget, the key assumptions that we've been talking about with the board for several months now, and then ultimately the resulting impact on property tax rates.
Yeah.
She began by explaining the purpose of the certified budget, which is to essentially establish the maximum amount the district is authorized to spend, and also it informs the public of both our expenditures and the property tax rates, the maximum property tax rates that can be levied. Heidi highlighted those key assumptions. We've talked about just the fact that we're facing declining enrollment
yep.
and have been for several years.
Mm-hmm.
She talked about a 2% increase in state supplemental aid, and then the different adjustments to the levy components that the board has directed us to make. And you know, bottom line, those are the assumptions that really form the basis of that budget.
Yep.
She did provide some historical context showing that what the maximum rate this year, which is going to be $15.27 if the board approves that, that's 15 cents lower than the current levy rate, excuse me, but it's kind of right, very consistent in that mid-$15 range that we've had at least the past 6 years.
Yep.
So I think she did a nice job of that, gave a very detailed breakdown of just the general fund property tax projections, and then concluded by summarizing the overall tax rate and just...
What's the next step in the budget process?
Well, we have scheduled and posted a public hearing on Tuesday, April 28th.
Okay.
And that's an important, it's a procedural step, but we have to have a public hearing to give community members an opportunity to weigh in and provide feedback. And then following that, we're going to ask the board to approve the budget. And then Heidi has to go through a number of steps to get it posted, to get it certified, and to finalize it with the Iowa Department of Management.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very close. We're within a couple of weeks of completing that arduous process that we've been really embroiled in since probably late November.
Yeah.
So this is, it's a box that we like to check
and be done with.
And we are pleased that even though we're facing some pretty significant financial constraints, the budget was structured to balance those challenges and also to maintain essential programs, services, but also offer some tax relief to our community members and our taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that can be understated.
All right, Mr. Lorenz, the consent agenda was approved.
It was.
It seems like there are quite a few personnel considerations, resignations, and some hirings. Staffing-wise, this is the time of the year that a lot of that takes place. So where
yep.
are we at? I'm going to say overall staffing-wise.
There are a number of resignations. There also were a couple of hirings.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the resignations that you see on the consent agenda are not going to be refilled.
Okay.
This is a reduction through attrition scenario. Mm-hmm. And
it's a reality of
yeah.
where we're at.
If you're not generating as much revenue, you have to shrink your mm-hmm. expenditures. And about 80 plus percent of our general fund is allocated for staff salaries and benefits. So that's the one way that we do have of balancing that budget. Now, we have been able to hire some folks. I was really excited about the hiring of Kate Johnson, formerly Kate Gollinghorst, mm-hmm. a Red Oak girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's not a girl anymore. She's a lady, you know, mm-hmm. with a family of her own, wanting to come back to Red Oak, and we're excited when those folks come.
That's
she's
awesome.
Going to bring some kids with her, and she's got tremendous instructional expertise. So although we're losing some folks, we're also filling those openings that we are filling with some really quality people. So excited about that.
Okay.
But as you said, this is the time of year.
Yeah. That it all takes place much of it takes place this time of year. Then, and again, the consent agenda was approved unanimously. There was no old business under new business, a few items, not an extensive list of new business, but some good items there. Waiving the athletic ineligibility period due to open enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
We have basically a family that's open enrolling from a neighboring district, and one of the siblings is a high school age student, wants to participate in activities, in
yeah.
athletics specifically. under Iowa High School Athletic Association and the Iowa Girls Union rules, kids who open enroll are typically ineligible for varsity competition for a period of 90 days unless both districts, both the sending and receiving district, waive that ineligibility period. Mm-hmm. So the sending district has already taken action to waive that, and this evening we recommended the board do likewise, and they did.
Okay.
So this young person is going to be joining us next year and will be eligible to compete.
Very good.
In athletics. And I think it's important to say that this young man is not coming to Red Oak to participate in athletics. This is not some ringer that we're bringing in.
Right.
It's just a kid that wants to participate.
Yeah.
And neither district saw the need to deny that. So there's nothing nefarious. There's no hidden agenda. It's just the child wants to be involved.
He's not 6'10" and...
I don't know if he's 6'10". We're on the eve of the NFL draft. I was thinking, maybe 260 and runs a 4.3 40.
Okay, sure.
But
sure,
I guess we all have our different tastes.
Yeah, so all right. But that was approved unanimously.
Yes.
Fiscal year 2026 certified budget amendment. Again, to our conversation earlier, this was approved, about $600,000.
The board did approve that.
Class of 2026 list of graduates, 67 students and 4 virtual students was approved as well.
So this was a new year because we always approve our brick and mortar kids. This is the first year we've had a separate approval process for those Iowa virtual school kids, of which we have 4 graduates.
Yeah.
So now both of those groups, those recommendations are contingent on the kids actually following through and meeting all the district graduation requirements.
Important point, yeah.
So if they don't finish their business, they aren't necessarily graduating, but assuming they do, the board has approved them.
Okay. The district career and academic plan for the 26-27 school year, approved unanimously.
Yep.
Per the conversation earlier. And the high school course handbook, you said there were very few changes.
Actually, we didn't make any changes this year, but we still like to have the board approve those, approve the handbook. So they went ahead and approved the handbook, which exists essentially as it does during the current year.
Sure. Under the report section administration, I thought that board member Bryce Johnson gave a nice construction report about the progress that's taking place up at Inman. Tell me about that.
Well, I think Bryce mentioned the fact that Boyd Jones and Allie Pointer are doing a really good job of coordinating and keeping us informed. We have a regular meeting every Tuesday afternoon, and we just go through everything that's going on with the construction. As Bryce explained, we've had, the project is on track, even though we've had a number of missed days due to rain.
I think he said 8 days.
I think 8 was the number. Mm-hmm. So they're working to compress schedules, to kind of double up with trades, and to try to gain those days back. But even though we've lost those days, things are still on track. I think they're continuing to work on site preparation. There's the underground work, I think, is largely completed. The foundation, they're starting to work there. Structural steel is expected, I think, later this month.
Yeah.
So there's really a lot of things that are going on, and they're making good progress despite those lost days. I think the biggest thing that worries me is the installation of the HVAC unit. There's an excruciatingly long lead time.
Yeah.
And I think 16 weeks is what they last said. So we're not going to receive that unit until August. And we're fearful that the installation is going to take the remainder of the summer, and it may not be operational by the time school starts. So right now we're working on some contingency plans, trying to expedite that work however we can, to make sure that the air is up and running when school starts on August 24th.
It can be warm in late August, Mr. Lorenz.
And we do have, there are some lingering design decisions that we have to make. I think at our next board meeting, we'll probably have some discussion about flooring at alternates that were previously discussed by the board. But otherwise, I think the team is really working well together. I applaud Boyd Jones for their coordination. And overall, the project is really well managed. They're being very proactive in terms of getting the work done, the work done well, and we're within budget and relatively close to timeline. So those are the two things that worry me the most.
There you go. Those are good things to have happening. The HVAC, you just have to see what happens. Some things are out of your control.
We're going to figure it out,
yeah.
But it's going to take some work.
Mr. Lorenz, before I failed to neglect this, in your good news from the Red Oak Schools. Mm-hmm. You commented on Amy McClintock.
Yeah.
Would you follow that up? I failed to mention that.
Well, and we did, you know, every board meeting we talk about great things that yes. the kids are doing. And I think sometimes the adults in our district don't get recognized, even though they're doing just as many great things. But I was really excited to learn that Amy McClintock, who is a school counselor at Edmond Elementary, mm-hmm. she was named the Professional School Counselor Graduate of the Year at Buena Vista University. So of all of the people that are graduating that program, yeah. she was selected as the very best. And she is actually going to be honored on May 8th at a special ceremony in Storm Lake. And we could not be more proud of Amy. She's very good at what she does, but she's also a tremendous human being. Mm-hmm. And she is just a wonderful reflection on our school district. So I really felt compelled to give her a shout this evening and just
congratulations.
Thank her yeah. for all the great stuff that she does.
Mr. Lorenz, thanks for your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure.